Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson. Welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show for April 4th, 2021. Happy Easter to everyone. I hope you guys are enjoying this beautiful day here in Philadelphia and all around the world. Spending time with your family and taking a moment to reflect on, you know, the second Easter with the pandemic. I like to think that we're getting close to the end, but then when I take a walk or I'm masked up following all the, the protocols of the COVID-19, and I walk past parks and there's hundreds of people out there not masked up, having a good time, it's deeply troubling because, you keep this pandemic going when you're not following these protocols. I understand people have been in the house, they've been cooped up, but we've been doing this for a year now. We've been doing this for more than a year. So I like to think we should know better at this stage, and we have to do better. We're not going to get rid of this pandemic until we begin to follow, not just follow, but stick to the plan. If there's any time in our lives that we make a plan and stick to it, this is the time. This is the absolute time. I mean, you're talking about, the last time we had something this bad goes back to 1918, and they didn't get it under control until 1920, 2 years. Guess what? We're headed for 2 years if we don't watch it. I mean, it's April. You know, we'd be looking up March 2022, still like, oh, you got to keep that mask on. Oh, you got to press the 6 feet. It's great that many Americans are getting the COVID vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, so if you can go out and get it. But, you know, I mean, I would still do a lot more research into it. And if you're not getting it, practice the freaking protocols. Can you do that? Practice the freaking protocol. And even if you say, well, I've got the vaccine, I've got my 2 shots, therefore, mask free. No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to still wear the mask. We're not out of this, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a long, long, long way to go. And I believe if we stick to the program, we'll come out of this. But the longer we continue to act the way I see many of us in Philadelphia and New York and Washington and Atlanta and like Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and Kansas and Oklahoma and all these other states, Florida, as long as we decide that we're not going to obey the protocols that's in place, then we're never, ever going to get rid of this pandemic. We're never going to get rid of COVID-19. So that's just, just my diatribe about what we need to do. As we get started with this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show, always my shameful plug, but a plug nonetheless, my new book, A Worn Off Front, Revisited 2020, is available. And as always, you would be doing me a great honor if you purchased a copy. You can go to my website, www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net. That's www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net to view and purchase A Worn Off Front Revisited 2005-2020. It's a good book. It's a very good book. I'm saying it's a good book, but people who have purchased it and have read it love it. And I think you would love it too. So thank you for your support. Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show is personal to me because it's about the city that I love so very much and the crisis that we have been facing in this city for the last few years. The title of this show, the Anthony Johnson Show, is Philadelphia Carnage. See, ladies and gentlemen, the city of Philadelphia, as of April 4th, 2021, has recorded more than 105 homicides to date as the violence continues to surge at a record pace. More than 105 homicides already. The violence has spiked up to 32% this year. This time last year, to put it in context, this time last year, 76 homicides was recorded, according to the police report, Philadelphia Police. 76 this time last year. But Philadelphia is experiencing an ongoing surge in fatal shootings that could set a new record at the end of 2021, the deadliest year in the city history when it comes to homicide. So as I said earlier, more than 105 people have been murdered so far this year, 30% increase over the same year last year, and more than 380 people have been shot or fatally shot, including 40 children, according to the police. So in addition to that more than 105 homicides, there have been some tune of over 300 shootings in the city of Philadelphia. So it's not people just being fatally shot, it's just people being shot. And 40 of them have been our children, innocent bystanders, children riding bikes, standing on their property, going to or from the store. We all have a stake in this, Philadelphians, but it's also across the country. So it's not just Philadelphia. For example, in 2020, it was an extremely violent year throughout the United States. In Philadelphia, we had 499 homicides. That's a 40% increase from 2019. And it was the second most since 1960. You know what's going on in 1960s in Philadelphia and around the country? The civil rights movement and an uptick in gang violence. The city wasn't hurting alone. As I said, across the country, there were 4,000 more homicides last year than there was in 2019. So all of America, you know, because I don't want it to be like, well, I live in D.C. and we're good. Well, I live in Oregon and we're good. And I live in Montana and we're straight. You know, we don't have that problem. Hey, we all have had this problem. We're all suffering. And the last few weeks have brought even more violence as two mass shootings, one in Metro Atlanta and one in Boulder, Colorado. It shook the nation. Yeah. So we're all being affected by this violence. None of us are immune. No community is safe. You know, where I live at, and I'll touch on that when I finish up and do We Can Be the Outcome, but the violence throughout Philadelphia is happening. And we're talking about areas that normally didn't have violence. So the affluent neighborhoods are experiencing shootings, robberies, rape, burglaries. It's completely and totally out of control. But ladies and gentlemen, like everything, something that is bad going on like gun violence, it doesn't have to be. So here are some solutions in my research that I've done and have labeled that I believe, and reading what these individuals, these experts have said, I believe can save lives. These are only opinions, but I believe these are the type of opinions that you really want to be willing to sit down and explore deeper. So let's begin. One way we can address the violence, the carnage in the city of Philadelphia is expand hospital gun violence intervention programs. You see, when it comes to the intervention, it begins at the shooting victim's hospital. Beside, and it includes the community-based management services, even in the month following the injury. Ladies and gentlemen, the idea is that this period of hospitalization is a teachable moment, or almost like a golden hour for getting through to those who are caught up in the vicious cycle of violence. Victims are more receptive to altering their path in a way that can prevent injury to them And it can also prevent retaliatory shooting or violence. It can be a break in that cycle. And that's what we need more than anything. We need to catch some breaks because right now we're not catching them. The most effective specialists are able to quickly gain the trust of patients because they are credible messengers. That means they have street smarts and they know something about the community where that person is coming from. Many also have a history themselves of exposure to violence. So those experts are sitting by that bedside talking to the victim. And they have an understanding because they can look, the victim can say, Anthony Johnson knows what I'm talking about. Anthony Johnson is in the trenches. He may not be out here shooting guns at people, but he's there. He's in the war. He's in the struggle to end this. So I'm more receptive to hearing alternatives to what I'm engaging in. I'm willing to listen to hear and hear what Anthony Johnson and individuals like Anthony Johnson have to say. Another way, ladies and gentlemen, is fund more community organizations. This one is important to me, ladies and gentlemen, and here's why. You see, I have a nonprofit organization. It's a uber grassroots organization. We are in the trenches. It's grassroots. You look in the grass, you kick the grass around, you'll see Dreamfield Academy. And you'll see other organizations that are in the community. True grassroots organizations. We are the ones that can do so much more than an organization that just has a nonprofit status. And you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of nonprofit organizations in the city of Philadelphia, but the bottom line is that they don't put a lot of effort in stemming the tide of this violence. And they get the necessary monies from grantors who are saying, we want to play a role in significantly getting rid of gun violence and street violence and youth violence, violence altogether in the city of Philadelphia. Well, here's the problem. You're not funding enough grassroots organizations. You can't say you want to end this violence and you're not given the necessary money, the necessary means to organizations like a Dreamfield Academy to fight, to combat the violence. This is a public health situation that needs to be addressed on all levels. The normal in our society has been poverty, gun violence, disparities, and food. That normal, what we want to change. That's the normal, I should say, we want to change. And it's having young men and women be highlighted as that. Groups and programs that have multi-million dollar budgets and initiatives really don't have the impact that the small organizations throughout the city have on a day-to-day basis. You see where I'm going with this, ladies and gentlemen? And this is not to take any cheap shots to those multi-million dollar nonprofit organizations in the city of Philadelphia. Because at some point in time, they were once grassroots. So they should understand what I'm saying. They should be open to say, you know what? Small nonprofit organizations, grassroots organizations like Dreamfield Academy and the like, they are in the trenches like we used to. And we had a good turnout. We had good results by doing that. So why, instead of me having your organization has $1 million budget, but you're applying for a $10,000 loan. The hell you need $10,000 for and you have $1 million budget? You're taking it away from an organization that is grassroots, that's grassroots organization in the trenches. That's how you fund. And those organizations, those programs that say we have this money, we want to fund, maybe you should tweak it and say grassroots organizations. I remember this pastor at I can't remember the church offhand, but he did a program where he was giving money to grassroots organizations. And I can tell you something, this pastor was very specific, grassroots. Established multi-million dollar nonprofit organizations need not apply. It was only for the grassroots organization who had a history of being in the community and fighting to end the violence. I say bravo to that pastor. Bravo to him. Next, give the families of homicide victims trauma-informed holistic support. See, untreated trauma will perpetuate violence. In a city of this magnitude, the exposure also leads to people responding in unhealthy ways if not treated. And we see that a lot, ladies and gentlemen. We see this a lot. So we have to offer those families of homicide victims counseling and case management therapy, support groups. There are organizations out there like that. They have to take a stronger, more visible role in doing this. Alternative wellness, including dance, meditation, yoga, and art. And families must be given victim service coordinator. From that moment the homicide occurs, that coordinator wraps services around them from assisting with funerals to their emotional state. Yeah, right? Sounds like something should already be in place. However, it's not, ladies and gentlemen. It's never been. It's never been. If there are any safety issues where emergency shelter or relocation is required, or if they need help with permanent housing, we have to be on it. Those organizations should be involved. One of the major things that we focus and we have to start focusing on is making sure the victims' rights are respected. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a family member that's been impacted by and exposed to gun violence, their ability to thrive has been lessened because they're dealing with the emotional pain of loss. So where is the help at to get them through this? This is not going to be an easy process. So they need experts to guide them through those dark patches and get them to the light. When a person is ripped from family, the trauma left behind stays with them until they process it. And if they cannot process it in a healthy way, which we are seeing here in the city of Philadelphia, what do you think happens? They develop unhealthy mechanisms to heal or cope, perpetuating the ugly, sadistic, vicious cycle of violence. The level of violence our city has had and is having, consider our communities that are being hunted by racist systems and the pain of internalized oppression. When you have that and aren't able to deal with the trauma behind it, it's a vicious cycle that never stops. It goes on and on and on, passed down from generation to generation to generation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to listen to young people when they tell you what they need. Yes. In the 1970s, the late 60s, early 70s, gangs were still perpetuating the city of Philadelphia. But with great public servants like the late, great Dave Richardson, he would go into those gang-infested neighborhoods in Philadelphia and would ask to speak. He would set up meetings with the gang leaders from around the city. Bring the gang leader and your lieutenant, come to my office. This is what Dave Richardson would do. And he would say to those gang leaders and those lieutenants, what do you need? What can we do for you to get you to stop this fighting? And the number one thing were job opportunities, places to go where there was no violence. And Dave Richardson and the likes of Dave Richardson, elected officials in the city of Philadelphia at the time, did just that. They created jobs, good-paying jobs, city jobs. They took the old dilapidated houses and turned them into community centers where these gang members could have places to go where they didn't have to deal with the violence. You see, investing in young people is directly related to gun violence. We're about elevating not just the teamwork, but truly being youth-led. We have too many elected officials talking about what they think the youth need, but there's no youth sitting at those tables telling us what they need. Isn't that arrogance? You're the adult, and you're telling the child, you're telling these youth, this is what you need. Instead of saying, come, I want you at this table. I need you at this table to tell me what it is that you need to stop this. We're giving young people, we have to start giving young people a safe space, not just to be, but to be themselves, making sure that they have space is relevant culturally and to what young people want and need today. Our young people need opportunities. Our young people want to be heard. What happens when a baby is crying because that baby is hungry and you keep ignoring that baby? What happens with that baby? That baby continues to cry louder and louder and louder until its needs are met. With these young people, they're out here expressing their anger in horrific ways because no one's listening. They're being talked at instead of talked to. Their counsel is not being sought after. The very people who have the most to gain and the most to lose. So they can come and hang out, create places, safe places where they can come out, but also get things that they need. If they need an ID, a job, we have to be able to help them. The elected officials in the city of Philadelphia have to help them. Those grassroots nonprofit organizations will help them. If the big multi-million-dollar nonprofit organizations want to get in, join us. You can't lead it, but you can join. We have to be big on putting money into not only paying young people and giving them economic opportunities, but training them in things like conflict resolution, peer mediation models, directly related to what is happening in our neighborhoods throughout the city of Philadelphia. And the biggest thing is for us to be consistent. How many times have you heard that? We talk about that in relationships all the time. You have all these fake relationship gurus always talking about consistency, consistency. Do you know that applies to our children as well? We have to be consistent. They have to see us. We can't say we're going to do something for them and disappear for a year and then pop up and say, I'm back. That's not consistency. We go back to the same place all the time. We have to do better. When it comes to the juvenile justice system, when they have our support, there's been way less violations when it comes to probation. The young people are reconnected with school and able to get jobs. Say what you want about these teens out here going ravaging our city. I tell you this, when they see consistency and when they see discipline, they fall in line. They fall in line. And it's like, you say, wow, this is all they needed? Consistency? And holding them accountable? Discipline? Wow. We should have been doing this years ago. Yeah, should have. But you're not. Get more powerful people from all sides in one room to talk about solutions as the other. As I said, yeah, you can get the powerful people in the same room, in one room to talk about the solution, but you got to have the youth too in here. Because none of us can do this by ourselves. You know, it's going to take a collective effort and tackling this crisis from different angles. We should want to get the different people who are in positions of power and in the community, our community leaders, state elected officials, city council members, the clergy, law enforcement, gun rights advocates, city officials from all around the city of Philadelphia. Get them into a room and have a conversation about what each of us can do and our roles, positions to bring about change. And leave your egos at the door. If you're bringing your egos, don't come in, don't come through the front door. By having people come together, we can figure out a plan. We cannot just keep pointing the finger and say, who should be doing what? We need to bring the various people and groups to the table, folks who are ready to get stuff done. true grassroots organizations, we've been doing it. We're there already. Gun violence is becoming the norm. That's what it is. Oh, they're shooting out here. Pow, pow, pow. Oh, that's the norm. Pass the potatoes. Turn up the TV. I'm trying to finish this Netflix movie. This is not a good idea. That is not a good norm. We can show up at a crime scene and talk about what needs to stop, but what are we doing? This is the big question. It's like we're looking and waiting to see who is going to do what or how they're going to respond to the crisis. As leaders, community and elected officials, we have to put our egos to the side and get work done. These conversations will be a step in the right direction to getting real concrete solutions to protect our community. Not saying it's going to happen overnight, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing happens overnight. That's going to be successful. But at least let's get started. Let's at least get the ball rolling. And stop putting gun violence in a silo and treat the root causes. Gun violence is a symptom, pure and simple, of what has been historic and systemic divestment from the communities that are most vulnerable, ladies and gentlemen, to gun violence. Poverty, poor education, white supremacy, redlining are all the things that are the root causes. So we have to now begin to come up with ideas to address those issues. That's the virus. So we have to come up with an antidote to address the violence. We have to be ready to do these things, not tomorrow, today. And, you know, we have to do these things, and we're failing. Ladies and gentlemen, we can make a difference. We truly can be the outcome. And now more than ever, the city of Philadelphia needs us. It needs all of us. I've been ready. I've been in the trenches since 1990. And I have no intention of getting out of the trenches because I believe that we can bring Philadelphia back. We can bring our youth back and make them whole again and make them leaders, productive leaders. But it can't just be me and a few others. We all have to get involved. And as I said, leave your ego at the door. Thank you for listening to the Anthony Johnson Show. I end it with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. The brazen shootings in Philadelphia must end, and I mean end now. 2 weeks ago, I had to go to the emergency room at Thomas Jefferson Hospital. You see, because early that morning, there were people outside the apartment where I reside shooting at each other like they were in a Western movie while cars were crashing into streetlights. As I'm coming out of my restroom, the shootings began, and as I went to duck for cover, as I was taught to do as a child growing up in a pretty violent neighborhood, I tripped and hit the right side of my face on the old-fashioned radiator system we have in the apartment. I was knocked out for 10 minutes. When I awakened, I was lying in a pool of my own blood. Even though I was not shot, even though I didn't crash the car into a streetlight because people were shooting, I am still traumatized about the violence that's destroying our city, this beautiful, great city that I call home. We all have a role to play in getting rid of not just the COVID-19 virus, but the virus of violence in the city of Philadelphia. I required 6 stitches, and I'm still recovering from a grade 1 concussion. Good night.